new CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Have you gotten Romo yet? Welcome into the Go Vols 247 podcast, a breaking news edition. I am Ben McKee. I am not Wes Ruffer. Wes is a little under the weather, so pinch hitting for him on this breaking news edition of the pod, and joined by Ryan Callahan because Ryan, Tennessee's picked up an important transfer on the market.
They have wide receiver Dante Thornton of Oregon announced Monday that he is committed to Tennessee. He took an official visit to Knoxville over the weekend, was in town from Friday through Sunday. And that was a visit that was talked about for weeks before it happened. Tennessee was a pretty quickly contender for him once he entered the transfer portal last month. And this is a big pickup. If you're not familiar with Dante Thornton, he's not a guy who's been a full-time starter at Oregon to this point in his first 2 years of his college career. We'll get into that a little more in a minute. But he was a top 100 prospect nationally coming out of high school in Maryland and was on Tennessee's radar, actually, with the former staff at one point while he was committed to Penn State. Tennessee didn't end up being a major factor in his final decision coming out of high school. But when I saw his name, pop up on the radar last month, knowing his background, knowing where he was from, and that Tennessee was interested in a receiver, I kind of immediately thought that's one that would make some sense, especially given that he hadn't really gotten a chance to be a full-time starter yet in college. And sure enough, it turned out that he was interested in playing in the SEC and that Tennessee was a real fit. So good-sized kid, around at least a verified 6'4". He's listed in some places at 6'5" and close to 200 pounds. And Ben, I'll ask you about that in a minute, because I know you got a chance to speak with him this weekend. But an impressive kid that I think has a pretty high ceiling and certainly is one widely viewed as one of the top wide receivers available in the transfer portal this 2023 cycle. So big pickup here for Tennessee, and certainly addresses a major need that we knew they were going to have to fill at some point. And for Tennessee to get a guy like this, and beat out some good competition. It was really Miami, Auburn, and he also took a visit this week to Arkansas. So those were kind of the main contenders. So you beat out some good competition for a guy that's obviously got the pedigree of a former big-time prospect and certainly the talent to really give Tennessee a playmaker in this offense.
Yeah, there's several different talking points when it comes to Dante Thornton in terms of why he picked Tennessee and potentially what he is going to bring to the table. But to hit on what you brought up in terms of the specific position that he's going to play at wide receiver while he's here at Tennessee, it's fascinating because he's 6'5" and 199 pounds, and that's probably generous if we're being honest. He reminds me of Justin Hunter as a freshman, just a very tall athlete who is very, very skinny and could probably use another 10 to 15 pounds of muscle. But he's 6'5", and you would not view him as a traditional slot receiver. But when we asked him at the airport on Sunday kind of how Tennessee views him as a receiver, he said as an inside receiver and as an outside receiver, that they love his versatility. And that is one of the reasons that they wanted to bring him into this offense, is because they can play him on the inside and out on the perimeter. And it's going to be a sight to see, because you don't really see 6'5" receivers in the slot, Ryan.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about. If sort of he passed the eyeball test there with that measurement. He was definitely a taller, lankier kid coming out of high school, 2 years in a weight room. And interesting to hear that he still might need to add a little more weight there, but not shocking,
Randy
knowing
Moss.
Kind of what is
Randy Moss, fellas, Randy Moss.
I like the build there for sure, and I think that opens up some possibilities too when he does line up in a position for Tennessee to, you know, maybe throw him a jump ball in the end zone or something like that. Certainly gives you an advantage there with the height. But, you know, talking with Matt Prim from our Oregon side, who does a great job out there, he made it sound like Thornton's a really, really fast guy too, that when he really gets going in open field, that he's got the speed to be a slot guy. So he kind of said, hey, that wouldn't shock me. He said he didn't do a lot of that at Oregon, but that was not his primary position, but that he did maybe line up there in some situations, primarily an outside guy there. But he said he does have the skill set to maybe be effective there, and he wouldn't be surprised. Talking with them, I mean, this sounds like an addition that I know people are looking at Tennessee's wide receiver situation and thinking, okay, they did well in the bowl game without Cedric Tillman and Jalin Hyatt. That was kind of a preview of what they're going to have coming back next year. You're going to have Brew McCoy back. You've got Squirrel White, who looks like he's kind of ready-made to play more in the slot going into next year. And you've got Ramel Keaton, who had to fill in a lot this year and looks more than capable of starting outside. You know, why are they going for another guy like this at wide receiver? And even if they do get a guy like Thornton, you know, some people asked us, is he definitely going to be a starter? Talking with Matt Prim about him, I mean, first of all, I think there's a very good chance Dante Thornton is a day one starter for Tennessee. I don't think they would be going after a guy like this if they didn't think that about him. Obviously, he's going to have to go earn it. He's got 2 years of eligibility left. So, you know, if he doesn't earn it, I don't think the staff would have a problem, you know, making him play a rotational role. But I'll be shocked if he doesn't play a lot. And honestly, I'll be very surprised if he's not a day one starter, because I think he is just that kind of talent that's going to be hard to keep off the field. From hearing the description of him, he was seen as a guy at Oregon that just, you know, should have been a starter this year, frankly, but just didn't have a great camp. And then kind of the light maybe started to come on a little bit toward the end of the season, had a big game toward the end of the regular season. And that this is a guy that's, you know, the arrow is still pointing up on him. And Matt Prim kind of said, you know, when we're looking back at the end of the season next year, it won't shock me at all if we're seeing him on some lists of the top, you know, top impact transfers from across the country in the 2023 season. So he's certainly the type of player, has the type of pedigree that it won't shock me at all if he's, you know, potentially even Tennessee's leading receiver. I think he's got that kind of upside next year to be, you know, a major, major playmaker in this offense, especially with that kind of speed and that kind of size. But it's just going to depend on how good he is, you know, how much Tennessee can count on him, because they at least do have a few other veteran options. It's a good situation, but this certainly gives Tennessee a lot more competition and a lot more options at that spot.
It certainly does. And look, I'll believe it when I see it in terms of watching Dante Thornton play a majority of the snaps in the slot. I know Tennessee likes to cross train their receivers and they want receivers that are versatile, but we still really haven't seen receivers move inside and out a ton. They have guys who have been able to do it, but for the most part, guys have stayed within their roles. And also on top of that, I mean, look what Squirrel White did against Vanderbilt and against Clemson, the final two games of the season, and the amount of targets that he received in both games. It's hard to imagine someone unseating Squirrel in the slot unless an injury pops up. So we'll come back around to maybe where Thornton will slide into the depth chart once he arrives. I want to talk about his decision to pick Tennessee. But before we get into that, Ryan, I do want to point out that he is already one of my favorite 2023 Tennessee football players already. He hasn't even arrived on campus yet. He hasn't gone through a practice, hasn't even gone through a workout, Ryan.
I can't wait to hear why. This is interesting.
I saw him at the airport, as I mentioned. Met him at the airport, talked to him about his visit, ambushed him, as we geeks do on these recruiting visits. And he had this big diamond necklace that said Big Mac. And before I was going to start asking him my questions, I asked him, I said, what does that mean? Why do you have a chain that says Big Mac? And he said that the Mac part stands for Murder All Corners. And from that moment on, I have loved Dante Thornton. And that's the type of mentality that this Tennessee football team needs to continue to adapt. And that's that Juwan Jennings type of dog in them. And it seems like he does kind of have that personality to where he's not going to shy away from the moment. He talked to me about how important and how excited he was to play in the SEC because that is the best conference in college football. And based off of him wearing a Big Mac diamond chain and the Mac standing for murder all corners. I think Tennessee fans are going to fall in love with this guy at some point.
Yeah, that sounds like it. I talked with him a little bit when he was coming out of high school. He did visit Tennessee, as I mentioned, I think his junior year or going into his junior year under Jeremy Pruitt. Tennessee didn't kind of hang around in that one for too long, but didn't get a chance to know him a whole lot then. But that's pretty fascinating and not surprising that he's got some personality like that from what I've heard. It did sound like he had on the maturity side. It'll be interesting because a lot of times with these transfers, you don't always know exactly what you're getting if you're one of these schools. You know, wondering, especially if it's a guy who hasn't played up to his potential. Are you getting a guy who's going to come in with his head down and work hard the way you want him to from day one, or is he going to expect some things to be sort of handed to him? You know, what are you getting attitude wise? And it does sound like he had a moment or two last season where he had a couple tweets, maybe a little bit disgruntled about his role, that kind of thing. So, you know, we'll see about that. But it's a guy 2 years into his college career who knows he's going to have to come in and compete. Based on where he's been and where he's coming into. He knows there's talent on Tennessee's roster. He knows they have other guys who played this year that he's got to come in and unseat. So I don't mind that. You know, I think you can certainly deal with that. And he's developed a good relationship with Kelsey Pope, Tennessee's wide receivers coach already. So I think they certainly have a good feel for what they're getting in Dante Thornton, but definitely a guy that has some personality. And as you said, sounds like Tennessee fans will enjoy that, especially if he is as productive as I think he can be. So, I really like this pickup for Tennessee. I think there were a couple other options in the transfer portal that they looked into last month. You know, Ra Ra Thomas from Mississippi State that ended up at Georgia was an interesting name that would have been a good fit, I think, also, and was productive in the SEC. And when you look at the production, Thornton is maybe the least proven of these guys, but I think he also has as high of a ceiling as any of them, if you can get him there. So I really like that they got a guy that still has a couple years of eligibility left. So it doesn't have to be a one and done kind of situation. It's not someone just looking to come in on his final year of eligibility and get some catches and get out the door. You might get 2 years out of him. And then, you know, kind of like Brew McCoy. And then also on top of that, it's a guy who hasn't reached his full potential yet and still needs to prove himself. So you're going to get a pretty driven guy who wants to take full advantage of this opportunity, who's eager to get into a new offense that will get in the ball as much as he thinks he should be getting it. Because let's face it, that's why a lot of these guys are in the transfer portal, because they want more balls thrown their way and things like that. So yeah, there's a lot to like about this. And again, I just think he has a, you know, maybe a little bit higher ceiling even than a couple of these other guys at Tennessee was involved with. So it seemed like Tennessee pretty quickly last month set its sights on Thornton as a guy that even if they had a chance to take another receiver in the transfer portal, they would have been a little bit hesitant to pass up on the chance to get Dante Thornton and didn't want to close that door. So it seems like a good fit on both sides, but we'll see how it works out. But again, I think this has the potential to work out really well. And if it hits, you know, he might be one of Tennessee's best offensive players next season. It's got that kind of potential for sure.
Well, and you have to trust Josh Heupel. I mean, he's going to bring in somebody that he feels is going to leave their mark and certainly have an impact and be productive within this offense. They were very picky. They've been very picky this transfer cycle. And there have been some big-time receivers in the SEC, not speaking about Ra Ra Thomas. I do believe Tennessee legitimately wanted Ra Ra, but there's been some other SEC receivers that have hit the portal that I don't think that Tennessee was – as high on him or on them as maybe people realize. Mm-hmm. And so they've been very selective. And if they're going to bring in Dante Thornton, then they certainly believe he is going to be a good one. Going back to the maturity aspect of it, Ryan, Tennessee's reached the point now, even though it's going into year three under Coach Heupel, of where it can take a chance on a guy here or there that maybe has questionable maturity. Mm-hmm. I'm not at all saying that Dante Thornton is going to be a problem. I have no idea how he is as a person or anything, but just in terms of some tweets here and there while he was at Oregon, Tennessee's established a culture to where Dante Thornton needs Tennessee more than Tennessee needs Dante Thornton. You have Squirrel White. You have Brew McCoy. You have Ramel Keaton. You have some freshmen that will hopefully take a sophomore leap. Dante Thornton needs Tennessee. Tennessee does not need him per se. It would be nice, obviously. That's why they're bringing him in. They're hoping he can be a trade deadline type of acquisition. But we've reached that point of the Josh Heupel era, and we've seen Tony Vitello be able to be successful in this. We've seen Rick Barnes as well be successful in this. Of once you've established your culture, nobody's going to come in and wreck that culture. They're either going to get with the program or they're going to get lost, as you saw with the Clemson running back who came in during fall camp, who I've already deleted his name from my memory bank.
Lynn J. Dixon.
Thank you, Lynn J. Dixon. So that's kind of, I'm not speaking to whether or not Dante Thornton has maturity issues. I'm speaking to the fact that if he does, and maybe does need to do some maturing, he's going to be entering a situation where Josh Heupel, Joey Halsley, Kelsey Pope, returning receivers, Joe Milton, they're going to be able to help him take that step. And that should not be a problem here whatsoever because of the culture that has already been established.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I'll say this, and again, I don't mean to throw out there that it's even a question that this guy might have an attitude problem or anything like that. I've heard nothing that would suggest Dante Thornton's going to be a problem or that there's a red flag there. You know, again, he's a college kid who was maybe frustrated for a minute last season and had a tweet, you know, maybe suggesting he should get more balls thrown his way or whatever. I don't even know how he worded it. I just kind of heard that reference in passing. And talking with some people about him last year at Oregon. So I don't think that's a big deal at all. And we see worse than that, you know, among current players that are staying at their schools all the time. So I definitely don't think people should read too much into that. And I wasn't suggesting that he is a risk in that regard. But that is a good point that Tennessee does have, I think, a solid culture to build on. But I would also say Tennessee has vetted him pretty well, too, as much as you can in these kind of speed dating type relationships that you have in the transfer portal. I mean, it really is. It's so different from when you're recruiting a player for a year or a year and a half or 2 years in a lot of cases, and then you sign them after getting to really know them over a long period of time. This is, you know, Dante Thornton, this is a pretty long recruitment by transfer portal standards. He was in the portal for, you know, several weeks and still it's a very short time, relatively speaking. But Tennessee, I think, has gotten to know him as well as you can. They got to host him on an official visit for an entire weekend. They, when you spend that much time around a guy, you do get a much better feel on those official visits. I think those visits are important. There have been kids who have kind of not disqualified themselves, but made it easier for teams to just kind of say, "Eh, we don't have to have him." But by the way, they've acted on official visits, so you do kind of get to vet them there. So I think Tennessee knows what it's getting and feels comfortable there. But you're right; they do have the right pieces in place and the right culture already kind of established to be able to help a guy like that if he needs to settle in and say, "Hey, you got to get to work here. We don't have time for any of that stuff." But again, if a guy like that comes in and catches enough balls, I don't think he's going to be a problem at all. And I'll be surprised if he is. So I don't see much risk there from anything I've heard. And I think this will be a potentially really nice pickup for Tennessee.
Dante Thornton is certainly a significant pickup, and we have plenty more to discuss about his addition, exactly why he picked Tennessee and how he can fit into Tennessee's offense next season. But first, we need to go pay some bills, and we'll be right back after we do pay some bills here on the Go Balls 247 podcast.
Hashtag ad.
Money!
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick Six is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Welcome back to the Go Vols 247 podcast. I am Ben McKee, not Wes Rucker, who is sick and under the weather, filling in on this breaking news pod with Ryan Callahan discussing the addition of Dante Thornton for the Vols and Josh Heupel's offense going into 2023. First, before we dive back into the conversation, do want to encourage you to go back and leave a review, give us a rate, and like us wherever you listen to your podcast. We would greatly appreciate that. Ryan, getting back into the conversation, no matter how you slice it, Dante Thornton is a big pickup for the Vols. But in terms of why he picked the Vols, you're already seeing the fruits of Tennessee's labor in the sense of how much success they had with the passing game, because that is what attracted Dante Thornton to Tennessee. Yes, there's an ability to quickly climb the depth chart at Tennessee after some key players have moved on. But Dante Thornton, when I talked to him about it on Sunday, he was well aware of the fact that Jalin Hyatt had won a Biletnikoff Award. He was well aware of the fact that Tennessee's offense allows receivers to catch a lot of passes, and he's well aware of Joe Milton returning. And that tells you all you need to know. And look, I'm not stating anything that we didn't already know. And we knew that this was going to happen. But when you have an offense that produces a Biletnikoff Award winner and receivers are going to catch a ton of passes, all of the receivers are going to want to come play for you. And that's what you have here in Dante Thornton.
Yeah. Wes has made this point before on a lot of these podcasts where we talk about receiver additions that, you know, you don't worry too much about this position in Josh Heupel's offense. And by the way, shout out to Wes today for playing his less attractive Roz Doyle today. If you're Ben, you're not old enough to have watched Frasier, I guess, but that's the but if you all could see the video version of this as well, with Wes being the silent producer, you would probably get a kick out of it. But
it sucks. This is my voice. This is why I'm not on the podcast. Y'all go on. Y'all are handling this for a reason.
Less attractive sounding and less attractive in general. But this is a position you don't have to worry about too much. And we've even seen Tennessee take, you know, less heralded prospects. You know, Squirrel Wyatt to a degree was one of those, a three star. But they had to fight off Georgia at the end to hold on to him. But
Alabama was a big fan of Squirrel Wyatt. I want to say he was like number two or number three on their receiver board in terms of looking at slot receivers when Squirrel was coming out, and they got their main guy. But if they don't get their main guy, Squirrel White's at Alabama right now, probably.
Yeah. So they definitely have gotten guys who were not, you know, top 100 players before and had success in this offense. But even those, you know, were guys that other programs liked. But yeah, they've shown in this offense they can find receivers that can do what they need to do and produce. But yeah, when you can have the guy or have a guy like Jalin Hyatt that has the kind of season he just had, on top of just what this offense is known for on reputation, this is going to sell itself. And yeah, Jalin Hyatt having that kind of year, you know, backed up by, you know, we'll see what they do in the draft, but by potentially some pretty early draft picks and Jalin Hyatt and you know, maybe Cedric Tillman, we'll see where he goes. But those two guys can certainly add to that. If Tennessee can get some guys drafted pretty high this year, that's going to make it even easier for Kelsey Pope to continue to sell this. So, you know, you're not going to win all those battles, especially in the transfer portal. We've talked about this before, how a lot of guys, when they go in the portal, already have a good idea of where they want to go. And as you said, I think there were some names connected to Tennessee that maybe were not at the top of Tennessee's board all along. There are reasons to be excited about Dante Thornton, aside from just how good he is, because this is a guy Tennessee wanted from the start, I think. But yeah, when you have that kind of success at that position, it's going to continue to give you chances to go get big players like this in the portal and in high school recruiting. And so not a surprise that he was certainly drawn to that. And I think you're going to continue to see that. And also worth noting, you know, Joe Milton, I know fans might have all sorts of concerns about him and still might not be sure he can throw the deep ball consistently and all that stuff. When guys like Dante Thornton are in the transfer portal looking for a good quarterback situation or a good situation to go into, the fact that you've got a known commodity like Joe Milton coming back that started the bowl game, started at the end of the regular season, that's sometimes a bigger plus to sell than an unknown at quarterback. You know, just for instance, an Alabama with Ty Simpson or whoever's going to start there, you don't know who's going to start there. So it's hard to count on that. And some teams have that type of situation. So for Tennessee to have that known commodity, I think it has been a plus for them to sell that in recruiting. And fans might be surprised to hear that, but I think that's how a lot of these receivers might look at it, knowing that Joe Milton's a guy who started a lot of games at two different schools.
And Dante spent quite a bit of time with Joe Milton during his visit over the weekend. Did ask him if he spent time with receivers, any of the receivers, and he was not able to because they had not returned back to Knoxville following Christmas break yet. But he was able to spend time with Joe Milton. The other key thing, and we've mentioned his name fairly often on this pod, but in terms of making him the center of the conversation or the center of a talking point, we shouldn't be mentioning it this late, Ryan, and that's Kelsey Pope. I mean, going into his second year, he's probably not as known of a commodity at this point, but he's if you're trying to get coached up and you're looking for one of the best receivers coach in the country, how could you not look at Kelsey Pope despite that lack of lengthy resume? Because I know Jalin Hyatt gets all the credit and everything, and in terms of the receivers catching a bunch of passes, it obviously gets chalked up to being a part of Josh Heupel's offense and whatnot. But Kelsey Pope played as big a role in Jalin Hyatt turning things around as Jalin Hyatt himself did. Look, Jalin Hyatt put in all the work, but he had some maturing to do as well. And Kelsey Pope helped him realize that he needed to mature and then helped him mature. And I would argue that Jalin Hyatt maturing was more important to his success this season than him catching the 10,000, 12,000 footballs on the jugs machine over the course of the season. So Kelsey Pope, it's only his second season as an on-field coach at this level. But, I mean, he's as good of a guy to go learn from at that position as there is right now. And Dante Thornton took note of that. Dante said that he saw the comments that Jalin Hyatt made of Kelsey Pope and how Kelsey helped Jalin become the receiver that he did this year. And he said when he got here this past weekend, and he was speaking with Kelsey Pope, that he could tell that those comments with Jalin were genuine. And it wasn't just a player speaking highly of their position coach because they're speaking to the media and they're not going to throw them under the bus. So Kelsey Pope played as big a role in Tennessee landing Dante Thornton as anything we've discussed. And I think that will continue because, again, Kelsey Pope helped produce and played a large role in Jalin Hyatt becoming a Biletnikoff Award winner. And Dante Thornton took note of that, and he realized that Jalin was being genuine, not only this weekend on his visit when he was talking to him in person, but also over the course of the last month while Dante's been in the portal.
Yeah, no question. And I think you're going to continue to see Kelsey Pope get more and more of a reputation as Tennessee's offense continues to put up the types of numbers it did this year, and that Josh Heupel's offense has produced basically every year that he's been a coordinator or head coach. So, yeah, I think you're onto something there. And I think Pope is, I've thought for a while the arrow is pointing up on his stock as a receivers coach nationally. We'll see how long it takes for him to start getting more of the credit there. But I thought he was a massive success story for Tennessee this past season, given the sort of chance Josh Heupel had to take to hire a guy like that, to give him his first big break. But he felt confident that it wasn't even much of a risk. And he's obviously, I think, been proven right so far. I thought he did a great job, not just with Jalin Hyatt, but with Ramel Keaton, getting him ready and getting him to be as effective as he was this season. Some of that's a guy just hungry probably to make the most of his remaining opportunities. But I give Kelsey Pope a lot of credit for getting him to tap into the talent he has and get him to produce in a way that he hadn't up to this point in his college career. So, yeah, I think he has done a great job, and he's going to have a lot to sell now with that Biletnikoff Award for Hyatt and the production Tennessee had this year with Hendon Hooker and just that offense being number one in the country. So, yeah, no doubt, and give him a lot of credit for doing a good job with recruiting Thornton. I think this 2024 class, not to shift the focus to high school recruiting, but I think this upcoming class will give us a much better idea of Kelsey Pope as a recruiter too, because he's going to have more to sell I think we didn't get to see as much of what he could do in the 2023 class because he really focused on a few big names, and Tennessee had a couple misses there with Carnell Tate and Kyler Casper, of course. But I don't think Kelsey Pope, I don't think that's an indication of what you're going to see out of him as a recruiter. And I won't be surprised if he gets a couple pretty big guys in the 2024 class at that position, because again, he's going to have more to sell. He's less of an unknown now. And I think he comes off as pretty genuine and likable and easy to relate to for these guys because he's a younger coach. That always helps. And he comes off as pretty real to these guys. And the people I speak with really connect with him when they get to know him for a long stretch. So I think he's going to be a, you know, he's a potential rising star as a recruiter. We'll see how much better he can get and what kind of results he gets over the next few years. But I really think he's got some serious potential to be a big time recruiter as he continues to get more and more results to go out there and sell in recruiting.
Final thing to discuss before we get out of here is where Dante Thornton ends up on the pecking order within Tennessee's receivers room. And we somewhat discussed it earlier in the pod, but Ryan, simply put, I think Dante Thornton is automatically at minimum the fourth receiver. I think Brew is obviously the go-to guy. He's going to be the number one receiver. Squirrel's going to be the slot guy, and we'll see just how much they actually use Dante in the slot. Again, we talked about it earlier. Tennessee says that they like his versatility. They like that he can play inside and outside, but we'll see how much they actually use him inside at 6'5". That's kind of something that I'll have to believe when I see it. And look, I'm not talking about two or three snaps a game. I'm wondering, are they actually going to throw this dude at 6'5" in the slot for double digit snaps a game, especially when you have Squirrel White, another guy that Kelsey Pope really helped come along this season, and a guy that I expect to have a big season as a sophomore. So I don't really think that Dante will be in the slot as much as maybe they say they're open to it at this point in time. It's early January. They're going to say a bunch of things at the moment. And I don't know that Squirrel is better than Dante. I don't know that Dante is better than Squirrel. But just with that role within this offense, you know Squirrel is going to get a lot of touches. And unless an injury pops up, I just don't see really anybody unseating Squirrel from that spot. So Squirrel's firmly in the top three at the moment, in my opinion. So, Ryan, at worst, Dante is minimum number four. And at most, he's the number two guy, I think. I think it comes down to he and Ramel Keaton. I think he has a little more skill than Ramel Keaton, and it's going to be up to him to piece things together. And that will be the battle that determines who is going to be the receiver opposite of Brew McCoy, and who is going to be the receiver that has to step up if somebody gets hurt, like we saw Ramel this year with Tillman and Brew McCoy at times.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I would have said. You know, that I think maybe at worst he's the number four, and that's really, to me, if he has some of the same issues that apparently caught up to him a little bit last year during camp at Oregon. It sounds like he had a case of the drops a little bit at times. I don't know that people should assume that he's got shaky hands based on that. Every receiver drops some passes sometimes, but you know, it sounds like at least at a bad point in the year, he didn't play well enough to beat out another guy who was performing well in camp. And that kind of set him back to start. So I think you like that he's been in that kind of competition before, and one that didn't go his way, because he's probably going to have to compete right away with Ramel Keaton for that job. And I think, you know, again, he's got the talent to win that job and to play a majority of the snaps at that spot. And he's got to continue to build on how he finished the season at Oregon. He was more productive toward the end of the year, made a few starts last season, I think three starts, if I'm not mistaken, but definitely got enough playing time to put up some big numbers in a couple games and at least show some flashes of what he can be. So, you know, his top season so far is not that impressive, not that eye-popping with the numbers, but you don't have to squint hard to see that he's got the potential to really have a breakout year as early as this coming season, for sure, if he can continue to reach his potential. So it will be a fun competition to watch now. It'll also be interesting to see if Tennessee adds a second wide receiver in the transfer portal. I've heard a lot of people say on the checkerboard on GoVols 24/7, why is Tennessee considering the possibility of adding a second receiver in the transfer portal. And I'm not saying they're going to. They very well might not go down that road. We'll see. But I think the possibility is still out there. And in part of it, Tennessee's not really signed a big receiver class in the 2023 class. You've got Nathan Leacock that I think they're really excited about, who has already started practicing with the team, and that you'll get a better feel for him in spring practice. But we don't know where Cameron Seldon's going to line up. I would still bet on running back being his where he gets his first look. And then you've got Nate Spillman, otherwise a nice in-state player, but not a guy that you're expecting to contribute in any meaningful way, probably as a true freshman. So you need some additional help there. And you've lost three guys in the transfer portal at that position already. So I think Tennessee could still use some additional bodies. And I think they're at least open to the idea of adding another receiver. So we'll see if they go that route. But if they don't, I think for sure I'll be surprised if Thornton is any lower than number four in the pecking order. And for sure, I think has a chance to be a day one starter if he lives up to his potential. I also love that he gets to go through spring practice. I think if you're a Tennessee fan, you got to be excited about that, that this is not a May addition. It's not a guy who's going to have to come in this summer and learn things quickly. He gets to go through an entire spring. Tennessee got to be more active in the transfer portal in December and January this year, get some impact additions, and those guys will get to settle in for a solid 7-8 months before the season starts. So that's a big, big deal. And I think that makes the transition much smoother for a guy like Dante Thornton, who still has some things to learn and perfect, but who has the talent for sure to make a day one impact.
Tennessee's offense is certainly shaping up to be quite fun again in 2023. Going to need guys to step up, going to need guys to develop over the offseason, but it does appear that Josh Heupel and company are putting pieces in play to replicate last season's success. Ryan, appreciate your time. And I think it may be a busy week. Wouldn't you say?
It's looking that way. It's looking like there will be more to discuss. So we might be back soon. Thanks for pinch hitting, Ben. Great work.
Just trying to be like what? No, I'm just kidding. reminder: go like, rate, and review the Go Vols 247 podcast.
There's that button, and now I can say thank you for listening to this edition of the Go Vols 247 podcast. We always say that, but we always mean it. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. You can find all of us on social media. I'm Wes Rucker 24/7 on Twitter. Ben McKee is Ben McKee 14 on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. And Patrick Brown is P Brown 24/7 on Twitter. And if you just want Tennessee news on Twitter, nothing else, you can get that at twitter.com/govals247. You can also go to facebook.com/govals247, where we update that throughout the day, all day, every day, mostly with Tennessee news, but also with news that we think Vols fans will find interesting. But if you want that best, most delicious East Tennessee Smoky Mountain spring water directly from the source, go get that at govols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets for coverage of Tennessee football, football recruiting, basketball recruiting, Tennessee baseball. Nobody, and I mean nobody, covers Tennessee baseball the way that we do. Also, no one covers the Lady Vols that we do. The award-winning Maria Cornelius does an excellent job covering all things Lady Vols for us all season long. You can get all of that at govols247.com. You've also got access there to two forums that run around the clock. Got the Checkerboard and the Summit, where you can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and discuss anything you want that is not political or religious in nature with us, with thousands of Tennessee fans across the world, and with us who are on the staff. And no one has a more active board with the staff members than us. We are proud to be there all the time answering any question that you've got, and you get all of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. That is all that it costs, and that's after a quick free trial. And once you pay us that reasonable rate, which is, again, less than one mediocre lunch per month, you get access in perpetuity to Paramount Plus, which is an excellent growing behemoth of a streaming arm there with us here at CBS, Paramount, Viacom, etc. You get every show CBS has ever made commercial-free. You get new movies. You get classic movies that rotate in every single month. You also get just tons of original content, tons of great original Paramount Plus content. And you also get access to the vaults of Nickelodeon, Smithsonian, MTV, BET, Comedy Central, something for the entire family. All of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. That is so much stuff. So much stuff. That's a bunch of stuff. less than one lunch a month. That's all that it costs. So go to govols247.com and do that. Take advantage of that. Tell your friends to go do that. Again, thank you for listening. You can always go subscribe to us on every content item, everywhere you can get a podcast. You can get this podcast. So please go do that. Thank you for listening again. And be kind to each other, guys. Just try to be kind to each other. There's just not nearly enough people in this world being kind to each other and having basic human empathy and dignity. Let's be better to each other. Let's be good. See you guys.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Hands where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.